Blog Talk Radio.
Why, hello there, and welcome.
I'm gonna be Michael Parks today.
Ladies and gentlemen, hello, thank you for coming, tuning in, and I'm your host, the Michael Parks, along with the legend, Fabi Chulo. Fabi, how are you, my friend? You be me, okay? Fabi Chulo, how are you? Go ahead.
Man!
Dude.
Dude, I just walked in the door.
That's me. Hey, you know what? This full working full time, it's not working out for me, man. It's just not. But anyways, we're here. We're live. We tried so hard last week, real quick, Mike, before you break us in, to have a show on Thursday with Sean Shirk and all that. Because when it's somebody like him, man, if you can get him on, you want to get him on as soon as possible. But everything that could have went wrong, went wrong. You know what I mean? Couldn't get the signal, all that crap. And I don't know if it's the blog talk or if you're not scheduled on your regular day or something. You know what I mean? That steps off. Whatever. But we're here. It's Tuesday. It's 7 o'clock. I text Sean Shirk this morning, texted him the call-in number, told him, hey, bro, we'll be ready to go. Well, 7:15 our time, so it's 9:15 out there his time. So he definitely will be here. If not, man, we'll just get – I'll tell you one thing, Mike, before you bring us in. I wanted to see that Terry Gordy Dark Side of the Ring, so now I got to stay up till 10 o'clock to watch it, okay? Mike, let me do a service, real quick, sir. Vice Channel, go ahead and take that wow off the air, or put it at 11 o'clock, okay? Put Dark Side of the Ring before that. Don't make me stay up and watch that to get to Dark Side of the Ring. Okay, Mike, go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you're talking so proper, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Scoop Slam Radio. I am your host, Big Mike. And on the ones and twos, of course, is the legend, Fabi Chulo. What's
sucks,
up, Fabi?
Man. Dude, we met yesterday. A lot to talk about there, too. We'll try to talk a little bit about that. And then after we get Sean Shirkin and talk to him, we'll talk a little bit about that. Because, you know, we got the barter deal going on on Matt, OTM, Scotty Nelson, you know, My Lucky Gi and all that. So we're going to put a little bit more of the MMA, jiu-jitsu. We got so many people booked. I'm working on Jeff Glover, you know, to get him on. Just a lot of people to get on there. So we go and we meet. We're completely talking about PWA. We're tentatively looking for mid-June for the next show, and Mike brings the box that has all the bells and whistles and all the stuff. I'm like, yes, we're gonna have a and then dude, you try to come down from Torrance anytime after like 4 o'clock, dude, it looks like a concert lets out. You're coming down Sepulveda and you get by Vermont by the 110 freeway. Both, I mean, dude, it's like you gotta sit through at least a minimum of 4 lights to get through that intersection. I mean, I don't know where these people come from or whatever, dude. We might have to. Well, since we have Sean Shirk coming on, maybe we'll talk about moving to Minnesota. Real quick, Mike, let me tell you a quick. I wanted to tell the story to Sean Shirk, but we got so much to talk about. I don't know if we'll be able to get to it because, you know, I live in Long Beach, borderline Signal Hill. So next door, they got a really nice, it's like a 2-bedroom place that has a little balcony, really cool. And then the front house is a real big house that faces more towards Orange, right? So it had been empty for dude, 10 years. We didn't have no neighbors next to us because the foundation was cracked or something. So they finally came out and fixed it. They sold it. So the people that move up front are, I think, the Puerto Rican, because they listen to a lot of salsa. And you know, Mike, it's like you tell me all I hear all day. I'm like, oh my god. So they found somebody to rent the back to, right? So I'm in my garage, and all of a sudden I see these dude. You want to talk about milk white people, whatever? It's a younger couple. So they come walking, hey, how you doing? And they're like, hello, hello, and they come back. So then I see him a couple of days later, and he's got a Minnesota, University of Minnesota wrestling shirt on or whatever. I look at him, his ears all cauliflower. Hey, what's up, man? I said, dude, you used to wrestle in Minnesota? He said, yeah. Yeah, he goes, I wrestled there for 4 years and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, did you just come to California? He said, yeah. He said, we just came. My wife got a job out here. So we're out here in California now. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool, man. Well, welcome. And I go, telling him all about the show, blah, 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 whatever, right? Okay, cool. The first night they're here, Mike, dude, they throw a party because they share like a yard in between them. The Mexican, Puerto Rican, Dominicans, whoever up there, they had a party till 2 o'clock in the morning. They had first they had mariachis, then they had a band, and then they had a DJ. So it went on forever. So I'm looking across and I see him, and you just see this look like, what the hell did we get into? So they've had so many parties, and I'm like, I saw him not too long. I'll say about actually it was about a week ago because we're talking about the NCAA finals coming up. Hey man, I said, I'm sorry, we're Mexican, but we don't, we're old, so we don't have parties and stuff. He goes, you know what, dude, the last one was so bad. He goes, we just left, dude. We went and stayed at a hotel. I said, well, don't think we're all like that. You know what I mean? That's just them. So that was his introduction to California. He moves in a nice little place with a balcony. His wife has a nice job, and he meets somebody. We're talking about University of Minnesota and wrestling. And then it is just ridiculous. They party, and that's like the place to be because they have a nice little backyard. So anyways, people from Minnesota, that's what they got to do. But I'm sorry, I had to tell you that because I just felt so – so now, if that was Sean Sherk and he came to live in there, somebody would be choked out. Yeah, I mean, there'd be Mexicans lying out here in the front yard.
You'd chuck somebody out.
Exactly. But anyways, Mike, we got him coming up at about the 15-minute mark. But talk a little bit about the future of PWA because, I mean, we met, it all started with we might have lost our place over at Metroflex, and that came through to fruition. We were talking about Vito and AJ maybe going for the tag belts or whatever. But, I mean, talk about the twist. It's probably going to turn into a tournament for for the first PWA world singles champion, right?
Yeah. We're going to move in a different direction to get the ball rolling. We got to get some more legitimacy.
Yeah.
For us. So, tentative date of June 22nd. And we're going to do a one-night tournament to crown the first PWA heavyweight champion. So
right.
Yeah, so.
And so far, although the stage hasn't been set, so many people want to get in it that it's going to kind of – you and I got to sit down and figure out, for lack of a better term, like the brackets or whatever, because not only does AJ want a piece of that – Mikey O'Shea said, hey, bro, don't forget me. We took him to the limit. And, of course, Sean Black's like, well, I was his partner, so I would like to be in that tournament. And then you got Boom Shasta and Jimmy Mayhem like, hey, bro, we're totally down. So we're going to probably end up putting a lot of those guys in singles matches to get to that holy grail and be that first PWA World Heavyweight Champion. Now, when we talk about, doing the show and having the one-night tournament – we're actually going to be outside this time, correct?
Yeah.
Now, are we thinking during the day, or are you going to do it at night and try to have those lights that just light up the ring?
Well, considering it gets dark at like 8 o'clock, we like to start about 6.
Yes.
So, it might be one of those. 6 and be done by 8.
Well, I think that would be pretty cool to have the tournament. And then you figure, because we're going to have the tournament and then we're going to have a tag match, before they get to the final. So the guys can kind of rest up and get themselves ready for the final or whatever. So I think it would be pretty cool to have the tournament, during while it was still light. And then after intermission, set the lights up, and when it gets dark, you could put those spotlights right on the ring. And the last two, the semi-main and the main, I think that would be pretty cool, man. Kind of like,
what's it called? Like a crescendo or whatever, don't you think?
Yeah, like the old Great American Bass.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
That would be pretty cool.
It's time for you to quit your shoe job. You got too many good ideas, bro.
Believe me, I've been wanting to quit that shoot job for quite some time. So we'll have to figure that out. But now you got your work cut out for you. Well, actually, both of us do, because what happens is I get all the calls, bro. I get all the calls. I get the emails and I get the messages. Hey, bro, I want to be a part of this. Well, I want to come from here. And it's like, well, honestly, which is a good thing, Mike, when you think about it, you got to get in line, bro, because we got a lot of people that want to get in this. Of course, people like AJ, Vito, he's all over the place working AAA and the crash and stuff like that. If he's off, you know he's going to want to get in it. And then, Mikey, even people like Guyam and them, they're all should be in it because they all did well on the last show, although it was tag teams or whatever. Guyam kind of got screwed because Jimmy Mayhem came out of nowhere, and had to be his partner at the last minute and got the splash from hell or whatever, but they still looked pretty good. As a matter of fact, see, that's what goes to show, Mike, the legitimacy of the Pacific Wrestling Alliance, because Guyam, who has his own Fed, which is a Lucha Fed, Lucha Libre Alliance, he ended up saying, hey, man, this guy Jimmy showed me something. I'm going to put him up against AJ for the Lucha Libre Alliance belt or whatever. So
hey,
it's just, right?
We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that show coming up.
In the wrestling, yeah, when we do the wrestling at the end of the at the end of the segment. Okay, I'm gonna try and see if we can get Sean Shirk for two segments or whatever. So let me go ahead and take a break. I'll shoot him a text, see if he can call in right now, and then we'll go from there. How's that?
Let's do it.
Watch me call and say, hey, Sean, can you call in right now? And I'll hear this. Hey, hold the brakes. We'll be right back. Hang on, everybody.
Sounds drive.
It kind of sucks because Mike brought over all the equipment that has all the stuff on it. I think this might be him right here. Hang on. Hey, Sean, is that you? We live on the air.
Yep, this is me. How you guys doing?
Perfect. We're doing good. Real quick for the people listening, you're here. You're at Scoop Slam Radio. Don't forget you can check out Scoop Slam every Tuesday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, as well as PacificWrestlingAlliance.com and also OnTheMat.com and MyLuckyGee.com. But let me tell you something, Mike. When it was set that Sean Shirk was going to come on, dude, inundated with emails, messages, and everybody was like, dude, we've been wanting to hear from Sean Shirk for a long time. I'm like, yeah, that's why I'm getting him on here. And Mike, Sean, I don't know if you heard in the opening, but this kid moved next door to me. He wrestled at the University of Minnesota for 4 years. Real nice, strong looking kid, cauliflower ears and everything. And he got introduced to California like you wouldn't believe. The Mexicans up front been having parties since he got there. And I'm like, dude, that's not us. We're Mexican, but we're old. So he's like, no, it's okay. But anyways, he just got like thrown right into the deep end. But real quick, Mike, say hi to Sean Shirk.
Sean Shirk, good evening, man. How you doing, bro?
I'm good. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. It's always good to talk to another Midwestern boy. I'm from Illinois. Transplanted
awesome.
Out to California. Yeah, so Good to hear from you, man.
but Mike, you're already used to California and how they have these big parties and stuff out here and stay up all night. But real quick, Sean, I got to tell you, man, we had Rich Clemente on here a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about when guys from the UFC retire and how some of the guys, like, you know, they take these fights like maybe a Nate Diaz or Diego Sanchez, and I see him, and I'm like, bro, I just wish, you know, they would have just retired and go off in the sunset. And he said, well, you know, for me, it was different because I got kids, and they're, you know, into wrestling and all that, and especially a sport like wrestling. You're traveling, you're helping them cut weight, you're working with them and stuff like that. So it's kind of like the same with you. You know what I'm saying, Sean? I mean, you retired, but, I mean, no rest for the weary. And especially now with the kids getting older, they're really starting to move forward. And, like, your one son took state or whatever. So talk a little bit about that. That had to, like, make you feel like, you know what, man, yeah, I'm retired, but I got so much going on. I'm not even thinking about UFC or whatever right now, right?
Yeah. So, well, my goal was when I retired, I wanted my retirement to be my actual retirement. I didn't want to retire and come back a year later. And, you know, towards the end of my career, I was so injured. I mean, I was fighting at 75%, maybe tops. I had so many injuries. I think I needed maybe five or six different surgeries. Training was painful, and I just wasn't having fun, and I could feel myself slipping at 38 years old, obviously, dealing with all the injuries on top of the age. Guys were getting younger. Guys were getting tougher. Fights were getting closer. You know, having close fights with guys that I know I would have handily beat a couple years earlier. But anyway, so my goal was to retire and stay retired. So when I retired, I started my business, Training Mask, which eventually I a couple of years later, I started a real estate business. I started buying and selling and flipping houses. And, I mean, now I've flipped probably 110 houses since I've been retired from mixed martial arts. I started doing sales for a roofing and siding company. I've done hundreds and hundreds of roofing and siding jobs on top of a flip. So I do both of those, I run both those entities. So, you know, my goal was to stay retired, but in order to do that, I have to stay busy. I have to keep my mind moving. I have to keep myself goal orientated. I have to keep myself out doing something and pushing myself on a regular basis. So fortunately for me, running businesses has been very, very, it's kept me busy and it's kept me moving forward. So that's kept myself out of the fight game. Now, if I did not have those businesses or those goals, then who knows, I might have tried to return. Because, you know, I think that's why people return to the sport is because they don't have an exit strategy. You have to have an exit strategy out of the game. Otherwise, the game is going to continue pulling you back.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for me, I had that with my businesses. And my kids, you know, my kids were real young when I retired. I think they were 4 or 5 years old, something like that. So they were just starting on their wrestling path as well, and I was able to kind of take them under my wing and just give them all of my information. So that always scratches my competition itch that I have. You know, I can kind of live vicariously through my children by coaching them and by kind of leading by example for them as well. So my youngest just won the high school state title couple weeks ago here in Minnesota. That was absolutely amazing. He just had a wonderful senior season, ended up winning the state title in a very, very tough and competitive weight class. And so now we're just kind of trying to figure out what the next steps are with him, whether it be college or mixed martial arts.
Well, talk about that, man. I mean, that I couldn't, like, I watched the NCAA finals. You know, I even take Friday off so I could see it from the beginning. And then when I see it at the end and I see these guys and they win that NCAA title and they show the parents, and you like, the dads are like, yes! And then you see the moms and they're crying and the sister and they're hugging.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, talk about that feeling. I mean, it's got to make you feel. Well, first of all, do they come up to you and go, look, man, I think I want to get into wrestling now, or is it just in the blood? And they're like, okay, high school starts, I know they start before high school, but, you know, we got this going on or whatever, Dad, I think I want to do it. And then you start working with them, because to me, it seems like it'd be kind of hard, because I wouldn't want to be too rough on them, but I wouldn't want to be too easy on them. You know what I mean? Talk about that a little bit.
Right. So my kids both started it, and they both wanted to join. I asked them. We wrestled around the house a lot. I mean, I'm I'm the roughhouse dad, right? I'm throwing the kids on the couches, throwing them on the beds, and we're playing King of the Hill on mom and dad's bed, you know. So I'm the roughhouse dad. So they were well aware of wrestling and roughhousing, but before they even knew what wrestling was.
Yeah.
So when I asked them both if they wanted to join, they wanted to join, and they wrestled from the time that they were 4 years old all the way up until they were both 18. So they wrestled their whole lives, and you know, depending on how serious they wanted to get, that's how serious I got with them. My oldest, you know, he wrestled his whole life, but he was kind of like a just an in-the-season guy. I want to wrestle and just kind of enjoy the sport, enjoy my friends. And, you know, he didn't, when the season was over, he was done. Whereas if my youngest, you know, he was the opposite. He's like, he wants to wrestle Greco, freestyle, folk style. He wants to win every state and national tournament there is. You know, he wants to be the best of the best. So he was wrestling 9 months out of the year. We're training at a wrestling school. He's got Olympic coaches. Like, he's got the whole nine yards. So kind of a two different, completely separate entities. And you know, I'm not the dad who pushes. I'm the dad who gives advice. So I've got a lot of experience. Everybody who's listening right now knows I've got a lot of experience on training, diet, supplementation, all that good stuff. So I just give advice, and I kind of lead a certain direction. If you want to follow this direction, let's go this direction. If you're not interested, that's fine too. It doesn't change who you are. You know, so I think that's helped a lot, because I know a lot of parents push. And you don't have to do that. I think if your kids love it and they want to do it, all you do is you just give them advice and let them make their own decisions. And then, as I say, you tell me where you want to go, I'll grab a shovel and I'll lead the way for you. So that's my thing anyway.
Yeah, and there's no better, training or whatever coming from Sean Shirk, because he's done it all. Mike, this is going to sound very old, but I have a DVD, and it was pretty cool because the UFC used to have these programs where they show everything leading up to the fight, and they show Sean Shirk, I think he was getting ready for Hermes Franca or something like that, and they show it's pretty cool because we like to see the stuff behind the scenes, and they show him get to the hotel, and he had to go out and buy all his meal prep, and the refrigerator was so full he had to keep it shut with the couch or whatever because he couldn't shut the door, and just little things like that. Like, he put all the ice in his bath and had all his stuff in there, and little things like talking about, like he said, you know, I don't want to be the first fight. He goes, but man, you're sitting there all day. He's like, man, let's just get this over with or whatever. So I thought that was really cool help. So Mike, remind me to give you that DVD so you could check it out, because it was pretty cool. But real quick, for the people listening to us, you're here, you're at Scoop Slam Radio. Don't forget, you can check us out on Tuesday nights, and we're talking to Sean Shirk, talking a little bit about, you know, the kids and them getting into it, especially retirement too. I mean, now it's just going to progress. There's going to be no rest for the weary for Sean Shirk, especially as the kids progress. But real quick, Mike, any questions for Sean before I go on to what I want to talk to him about?
Yeah, I had a couple.
Go for it.
One, do you think it was how big of a benefit was it that you were able to retire with the kids being so young, which meant dad was home 24/7 instead of, I got to go to training camp, I got to go do this, I got to go do, I got to fly, I could do a fight. No, dad's home, you know, because, you know, there's kids that probably grew up with mom or dad going and doing training camps and fighting elsewhere and then coming home beat up and then having to sit them down and tell them, this is your job, this is what you do. So what were your benefits of retiring when the kids were such a young age that you really didn't have to go through that, but you were actually home with them to be able to start helping them grow into the sport of wrestling? Talk about that.
So with me, the fortunate thing was my training camps are right here in Minnesota. I've been at the same place, the academy, with Greg Nelson since the very beginning of my career, and I never left. So I wasn't one of those guys that said, okay, am I in the training camp? I'm flying out to California for 8 weeks. So my training camps were always here right in Minnesota, and I would bring guys here to train with me. I'd bring my Muay Thai guys. I'd fly in world champion jiu-jitsu guys. I'd bring in Minnesota Gophers to train with me. And then plus I had all my normal training partners. So I wanted home is where the heart is, right? So I wanted my training camps to be as comfortable as possible, sleep in my bed every single night and go to the same gym in the same spot every single day. So my training camps were here. I didn't have to travel for that. As far as retiring when the kids were young, That's kind of a plus and minus, because I wouldn't have minded the kids being a little older when I was competing just so they could watch me. You know, I always thought that'd be kind of cool. Me being in the UFC fighting on pay-per-view, you know, my kids are 9 or 10 years old sitting on the couch watching or something, or maybe even being in the arena. I always thought that'd be kind of neat. Hopefully that doesn't make me a bad dad, but I always thought that'd be kind of cool having your kids watch you, you know, be proud of you and say, that's my dad, you know, but my kids never saw me fight. So maybe that's an advantage. Maybe that's a disadvantage. I don't know. I guess it depends how you want to look at that.
Yeah. Well, real quick, I got Mike, I'm sorry, but I got to take a quick break to reset. Sean, can you hang on just for a couple of minutes?
Sure. Yep.
Okay, hang on. Let me just reset real quick. We'll be right back with Sean Shirk. Hang on, everybody.
Sounds Drive.
When you got Sean Shirk on, you make sure you reset and be ready to go. So real quick for everybody, we're here at Scoop Slam Radio. Don't forget you can check out Scoop Slam Radio on Blog Talk and as well as onthemat.com and myluckygee.com. Don't forget to check that out. We got some stuff coming, Mike. Real quick, sorry, Sean, but when I talked to Scotty Nelson, he said, you want me to send you some gear? Said, yeah. He said, well, you still wear a 2X? I said, yeah. He said, well, what about Mike? And I went, I think he wears maybe a 5X, and he went, a 5X? Well, dude, he's like 6'4", 6'5", and he's all right, man, I'm going to have to go to the warehouse and see what I got. So, Mike, hopefully it's coming pretty soon or whatever. But anyway, so we're talking to Sean Shirk. We're talking a little bit about, you know, retirement, and now that he's, you know, the kids are older and they're starting to go to state and stuff like that, how busy he is. Now, when we're talking about that, It's weird because I'm Mike and I were talking yesterday at the production meeting, and I'm talking like, well, you know, if Sean Shirk's one of his kids, you know, if he starts getting scholarships, I mean, everything for me especially was all about Iowa. I mean, I thought the Brand brothers were just sick because they're so just like, for lack of a better term, like balls out. Those guys just don't stop. But then you got somebody like Kale Sanderson, who I call him the smooth operator. He just seems cool and nothing like bothers him or whatever, and they do so well. I mean, it's been Penn State and Iowa back and forth for the last few years, although Minnesota looked really well, and even Rutgers looked really good this year. So now if they start coming in, what would sway you either way? Because to me it seemed like, especially somebody like Sean Shirk, oh, dude, going to Iowa, Brand Brothers, and they're just going to be, you know, really hardcore. But, you know, I'm – especially for Sean, would that be something, or would you say, well, you know, Penn State's really starting to come to the – I mean, they had 170 points for the Big Ten championship, which was ridiculous. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so the door's open, you know. We've been getting some phone calls here for some D1, D2, D3 colleges. You know, he's a little undecided whether or not he wants to wrestle in college. He loves wrestling, without a doubt. He loves it. But he's a little undecided just because he kind of says to me, I'm kind of ready to get life going. Is what he says to me. And these are his words. I kind of want to get ready to get life going. I feel like if I go to college, I'm going to be able to wrestle and compete still. But then I graduate from college, I'm 22, 23, and now I got to start over. So he's like, if I start right now, you know, by the time I'm 22, 23, maybe I'm in the UFC already, if that's the direction he decides to go. Or maybe he gets a degree in business and he runs his own business or whatever. So these are his words, not mine. He says, maybe I'm ready to get my life going. So he's not closing the door on college. I think if we get the right offer from the right school, we'll definitely go do a walkthrough, meet with the coaches, and maybe kind of get the creative juices flowing. Otherwise, you know, he worked for me doing construction on my flips. And I can definitely point him in the right direction if he decides to pursue a career in mixed martial arts. He's been boxing since he was 4. He's almost as good of a boxer as he is a wrestler. He's got those two entities already. He's got the boxing is sharp, the wrestling sharp. All we got to do is get the jiu-jitsu going now. So if that's the way he wants to go, then I'll put him on the fast track and we'll start training a couple times a day.
But if
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, real quick, if he came to you and said, well, I got an offer from Penn State and I got an offer from Iowa. You know, what would you, because to me it would seem, especially like the way how hardcore you were when you were, you know, you were closing that business, shooting that double leg and getting them down. And that kind of seems like the Brand brothers. They're just go, go, go. And then you, but Penn, so which way would you sway them?
That's tough because, you know, I mean, you mentioned the Brand brothers, and I modeled my fighting career after the Brand brothers. I mean, I watched documentaries, wrestling videos, everything I could get on those Brand brothers, training videos, and I would watch that stuff, and that was my Bible. I watched that stuff, and I tried to model my entire mentality to the Brand brothers. Seek and destroy. Run them out of energy.
Yeah.
Burn them out of gas. Make them not want to fight me anymore. Make them mentally and physically quit. That was my mentality, was geared towards the Brand brothers. And then you take Kael Sanderson. I mean, he's going to end up being probably the best coach of all time, I have to assume.
Yeah.
I mean, he's well on his way. I think he's going to, you know, he'll win his third national title this year. I don't see anybody coming close to stopping him anytime soon. So do you turn down a spot for Kael? I don't know. It's tough because you think about the team and how much depth is on that team. So you come in as a true freshman. I mean, you're not seeing a starting lineup for a long time. And that could be the same with the Iowa Hawkeyes too. So I guess to answer that question, there's no real simple Iowa or Penn State answer to that question. It's more on the lines of just kind of do your research, maybe walk the campus, talk to the coaches, see who's there and see where your shot is going to be at starting, because ultimately the goal is to start and become an All-American.
Oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I'm sorry, Mike, go ahead.
No, I was going to say kudos to your son, because it's like he's like that. I don't know if I want to wrestle. It's not like he's being burned out. You know, it's like that. I don't know if I want to go to college. I want to start my life. And I want to do this and I want to do that. And kudos to you for not being a dad to go, no, you're going to go wrestle in college. You're going to go wrestle in college. This is what you're going to do. And you're letting him live his life. So, I just wanted to say kudos to you. You're not that, you know, because you got so many dads out there that do that, force that down their kids' throats, that you're allowing your son to be an individual, and you're going to guide him either way he wants to go. So I just thought that was awesome.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I mean, he's such a smart kid. Like, I mean, just some of the stuff he says and some of the stuff he does, I'm like, holy smokes, man, this kid is so much more intelligent than I was at his age. And I like to attribute that just by the fact that I do let him be himself, and I try to coach him, based on my experiences and try to tell him what I've been through and kind of lead him, guide him in certain ways, or, you know, just a lot of coachable moments, especially when you have an athlete. There are so many coachable moments, whether it be wins or losses, and I'll give you one example here. He lost the match at sections for state qualifier this year, and he to a kid he beat already twice. He lost to a match to a kid that he already beat twice, who was ranked below him, and it was a heartbreaking loss, and he was absolutely devastated. So, this is 1 week before the state tournament, actually 5 days before the state tournament, he took this loss, and you know, that was a very, very huge coachable moment for him. And, you know, we had a lot of talks and heartfelt conversations. And ultimately, the consensus was use this loss as your motivation now. So you use this loss going into the state tournament, knowing that at any point in time, your dream of being a state champion can be taken away. And basically, you got 5 days before the state tournament comes, and we can do everything we can possibly do to make sure you're mentally and physically ready for this tournament. And he says, okay, whatever you need me to do. So we're literally training 3 times a day. He's doing smoothies 3 times a day. I've got him doing oxygen therapy. I mean, we just went above and beyond. You know, no stones unturned was our motto. No stones unturned. We're going to do whatever it takes at this point in time. We're watching videos, studying opponents. You know, we're doing all kinds of different stuff. Hyperbaric chamber, I have one at home. So, like, he left no stones unturned leading into that state tournament. And the final result was that loss was actually the best thing that happened to him, because it motivated him the next week to win the state title.
Yeah, shocked him into reality. Well, when you have a dad like Sean Shirk, I mean, that's what it's all about. You know what I mean? Because then he has that to go to, and you're like, well, let's do this. And it's that's wrestling, though. And I think that's why wrestlers do so well when they get to MMA and stuff like that, because they're, you know, you go to a tournament, I can't say, oh, well, I got to go watch video on this guy because there's so many different people that you're wrestling. You have to be ready. Like, it's you. You're the one who has to be ready. That's why I think they do so well in MMA. But, you know, I got to tell you, Sean, I don't know if you know this or not. I mean, I'm pretty sure you do with your social media and your website and stuff. But people still – well, I saw on the, I think it was on your Facebook. You said, "Hey man, let me get that Jake Paul fight. I promise I won't take a dive or anything. I'll show him what it's all about." And a lot of people said, "Well, ask him if that could come to fruition." I said, "You know, it's so, I don't know. I think it is. I mean, come on, man. Mike Tyson's, he's my age. He's like 56, 57. And well, if that, you know, if they said that, well, look, man, we'll take it. If Jake Paul was actually, I don't want to say real man, because, you know, he is, or what, they said, okay, well, you know what, I'll take that challenge. Then that would give him some legitimacy, right?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I mean, I'm not the kind of guy that would take a dive for money anyway, and I'm not,
yeah.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't even, I hate to say this, and maybe there's people out there that'll disagree with me. I just don't know if those are real fights. I really don't. I think he's cherry picking people that are way past their prime, and I just don't know if they're real fights. He's a YouTube star, you know.
Yeah.
He's a master at making money off, you know, doing weird things. Like, not weird, but crazy, out of the, you know, things that are going to draw attention. But he's a master at that. The guy's become a multi-millionaire at you know, making YouTube videos, and this is just another way of him making millions of dollars off making videos, basically.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe people disagree with me, but I don't know. Those are real fights.
Yeah, but you get in there, Mike. He gets in there with Sean Shirk. He's not going to be, you know, he's going to close that distance, take him down. He gets him on his back. He's not going to know what to do. Before he knows it, it's going to be over. So that would never happen. Like, he would say, I'm not taking that fight because that's going to be a real fight. But anyways, I would pay to see it. Now, if that came to fruition, that I would actually pay to see it, because then I know it would be legit. But anyways, Sean,
yeah,
I mean,
you know, he's not going to wrestle. You know, he's not going to wrestle.
Heck no.
No, he's not going to wrestle.
You know, and growing up, I was probably the biggest Mike Tyson fan in the world. Like, if you walked into my bedroom as a middle school kid or a high school kid, I had a whole wall dedicated to Mike Tyson. Posters and pictures and magazines, Mike Tyson, Mike Tyson, Mike Tyson. I started boxing because of Mike Tyson, and I tried my best to mimic every move he did. I knew everything about him. You know, I was like his biggest fan, legitimately. And, you know, I mean, rewind 10 years ago and Mike Tyson knocks this guy out in 30 seconds. But even at his age, I still think he knocks Jake Paul out if it's a real fight. But from what I hear, they're wearing headgear and 18-ounce gloves. So I don't know if that changes anything or not. But
they're like the Gracies, they start putting rules. Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the stipulations, Jake Paul. I get to wear headgear.
Well, you know what, Mike?
I won't be watching the fight live, but I'll definitely wait for the highlight video to come out.
Yeah, and for the knockout video. But you know, Mike, well, I watch a lot of documentaries. I read a lot of books, you know, because I like to read documentaries and stuff like that about people. And I was reading the one on Dan Gable, and the part that sticks out to me the most, especially with somebody like Sean Shirk, he said, "I never get mad at somebody when they try their hardest." He said, "I just want my wrestler, when they come off the mat, for the opposing wrestler say, I never want to go against that guy again. Even if my wrestler loses, I just want that guy to come off the mat and say, I never want to wrestle that guy again." And that's what I think of when I think of Sean. So a million thank yous for coming on. Let me tell you something. When I started working with Mike, and I said, you know, you get somebody like Sean Shirk on, that legitimizes, you know, your show, because that's the real deal. And people, they start sending messages and stuff like that. Hey, bro, good to have him on. We want to hear from him and stuff like that. So we appreciate you coming on.
Hey.
Anything – now, the SeanShirk.com, is that still going right now, Sean? You keep anything on there still?
No, I don't really use the website anymore. You know, I've changed my focus from competitor to business owner now. So, you can look me up on Facebook. Look, you know, Google my name or whatever. You can look me up on Facebook. Otherwise, if you need roofing and siding work, you can always find me at Advanced Roofing.
Definitely.
Know?
Well, just don't fall off, man. We need you at 100%, man. We don't want safety issues.
Hey,
but, Mike, any last words for Sean before we let him get out of here?
Yes. One last question. Have any of your sons seen Vision Quest? Come on, man. Please tell me.
Oh, yeah.
That's the staple.
Yep, that's one of our go-tos. That's one of our go-tos. We watch it at least once a year.
That's the best movie ever.
Best movie ever.
Wrestle and Wrestle. Well, please tell me you've seen Vision Quest. All right. I feel better now. Okay.
Yep.
All right,
yep,
Sean.
We're all good.
A million thank yous for coming on.
All right, guys. I appreciate the time.
Appreciate
all right.
you, man. Thank you
Don't
so
forget,
much.
Check out Sean's Shirk on Facebook. He keeps everybody up to date on there so we can keep up to date with, you know, where the kids are going and stuff like that. So make sure you check him out. A million thank yous for coming on, Sean, man. Keep in touch. All right, my man?
All right, guys. You take care.
Thanks, Sean.
All right.
You
Sean
too.
Shirk, everybody. We'll be right back after this.
Soundstripe.
Dude, remind me to get you that that DVD. It was pretty cool because Sean Shirk was on a different level way back then. And when I had him on a while back, he said, you know, the UFC is different, you know, because now it's more like a business. Because he said, I only had one loss, and that was to Matt Hughes, who for the championship, he goes, and I got cut. You know, it was like, now these guys have 5-6 losses. They're still in the UFC, you know. And then he went to Pride after that, but it just shows how much things have changed. You know what I mean? So remind me to get you that DVD so you could check it out.
That was cool talking to him, bro. And it was good that it wasn't so much about his career, but what he's done afterwards. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's good that when he retired.
Mm-hmm.
Because his body told him he couldn't do it no more. So,
right.
You know, that was good, man.
Especially
that's good.
Him,
that's cool, dude.
He was the epitome of what UFC was about. I mean, the dude was always in shape. He always, you know, came 100%, balls out Rambo and all that. So, and he's, like I'm saying, his kids are lucky. You know, they got somebody like that who's done, seen it all. But, you know, he made sense when they said, I thought for sure someone's going to want to go to college. But, you know, where we do the shows at Metroplex, AJ McKee with Antonio McKee's son, he's training over there all the time. He went straight from high school into MMA, which was smart because he's young. And he's like, oh, yeah, he's already a millionaire. And he's, okay, Jessica's 29, so he's 28 because he was wrestling when I was coaching at Milliken and he was at Poly. So in his late 20s, he's already a millionaire. So it kind of makes sense. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So,
wow.
But anyways, Mike, go ahead. I know you want to talk a little bit about PWA and the shows coming up and stuff like that, so go ahead. Oh, and Lucha Libre Alliance.
Yeah, well, first, I got to shout out my boy Bags from the gas company. He's the one that showed me how to get us on Apple Podcasts.
So
shout out to Bags at the gas company. Appreciate you, man. And just in case any of you guys that are listening to us want to hear all of our episodes, you don't longer have to come to Blog Talk to do it. All you got to do is go to www.blogtalkradio.com/BossHog, lowercase, everything, Boss Hog number 9. And once you go there, it takes you to the Blog Talk screen. Click on the podcast icon. It takes you directly to Apple Podcasts, and it says, do you want to follow this link? Say yes. And we are on Apple Podcasts. And you can listen to us 24/7. So, yeah. So
I'm talking about
that first.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, I wanted to talk about the show that we went to. Well, actually,
Fertuzzo?
You didn't go. I went.
Mm-hmm.
The show, the Lucha Libre Alliance and Lucha Pro show for
Florence and Maine.
Yeah, Florence and Maine. That was, you know,
I heard about
it. It was very, very, dude, it was off the chain.
Hmm.
It was off the chain. And guess who showed up? Rudo Ram.
I heard he was sick, dude. I heard he was really, really, like,
he was
borderline going to the hospital sick.
He was not in a good mood. He was not in a good mood. And I mean, he was just, he was cussing like a sailor throwing. And I mean, I was like, hey, can you calm down? And he was like, no, you shut up. You shut up. You not me. And I'm like, all right, okay.
Well, he couldn't have wrestled, right, because he was sick.
Oh, no. He got in the ring.
Oh, what happened?
He got in the ring. And
did he come
to
the thing in his gear?
Yes. I'm trying to figure out. He just showed up in his gear. He wasn't even supposed to be on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And he showed up in the back. He's like, I'm here, I'm wrestling. And I'm like, oh, Lord have mercy. Somebody get this dude. He's like, I want Cayenne. I don't care if this is a benefit show. I want Cayenne. And he tore into Cayenne. I mean, he tore into him.
On a benefit show?
At a benefit show.
Oh, my.
That
dude is legit crazy.
Look here. He showed his ass. he showed his ass that Sunday night. And then this was the kicker. And I don't know who was out front, but he did what he did to Kayem, and then he ran out the front door and got into a car and took off.
No, I would imagine so.
I don't know what's wrong with this man, but he that's your boy. He needs help.
Well, he called me and I talked to him because he told me that they changed the date to April 7th because of what happened. But he never said anything about going to the Thuso tribute show and working because he was sick, dude. He was legit sick.
Is he hiding stuff from you now? Is he trying to seem like he's a good guy and people are picking on him? I'm telling you, he went there and showed his ass, boy, I tell you. He had those kids looking, just gasping, like, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
He was going at it with the fans. I'm like, dude, he was pretty pissed off, bro.
Did he bloody him up?
Yes, he did. At one point, he almost tore his mask off.
Oh, dude! Was it a one-on-one, or did he just come out and attack him, or was it one-on-one, or what?
No, I don't know how he ended up in this tag team match. I don't know how they ended up saying it was okay for him to wrestle, but he ended up in a tag team and ended up, you know, going up against Cayenne. And I mean, it was, whew. Chivo Power came out, but Rudo Ram, he cheated. He cheated.
Well, gee, that's a surprise.
He did. Yeah, he cheated. And then he just went for the mask. And I was like, he was almost like dead set on tearing his mask off.
Yeah.
So, you know, they set it up. You know, Mascara versus Mascara. April 7th.
Yeah.
So this is.
But not only in the cage, but in the MMA cage. That's the one where you shut that door and you lock it, and there's no way out, and there's no ring, there's no ropes, nothing like that. It's just you're inside the cage, and they're going to go at it. So when I talked to him, he told me, yeah, you know, they changed the date to April 7th. And I'm like, well, dude, you know, that's in the MMA cage. He goes, yeah, I know. I said, well, you know, dude, listen to me. Okay. I am going to give him a beating. First of all, for making me wait. And I'm like, well, he must have been something because I didn't even know he went down to go after him, especially at the Thuzo benefit show, man. Dude, so, to me, that's like either he's afraid and wants to send a message to try to get in his head, or he's just legit crazy and just went down there and started some trouble.
I don't know because, you know, when they get in that MMA cage, they lock that door. There's nowhere for him to go.
Right.
So they just have to go head up.
Oh,
we actually gonna see what's gonna happen.
Well,
you know, that's gonna be crazy.
We gotta get Kayam in here one more time to find out what all that was about.
Let's
see what's going
do.
On with there, because they put the flyer out and that was already set, but then they changed it. It's gonna be AJ Mana against Jimmy Mayhem now. So give me your thoughts on that. That's a whole new twist for AJ. But what's his name? Jimmy Mayhem's got a bone to pick because he got hit with that splash. So I props to him for probably stepping up and telling Kayam, hey, bro, let me get a piece of that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he had a good showing at our World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he took that splash. And that was one of the biggest splashes I've seen in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And he took it like a champ. And he was, you know, he's got some heat with AJ, you know, especially with him and his brother Boom, you know, coming out there and calling them out. So it's going to be, I think this is going to be one hell of a match because I think he deserves it.
Yeah, I agree.
He deserves the opportunity to show what he got, man. And you know, he's going up against AJ, who's starting to evolve as a wrestler. You know,
right.
I think AJ's gonna start scaring people
mm-hmm.
because he's starting to see what he got, and he's starting to utilize it. And I think there's gonna be people that's not gonna want to get in the ring with him.
Well, you know,
because of his, you know, the way he is.
You,
go ahead.
You and I met yesterday, and because
mm-hmm.
now with everything kind of settled at Metroflex, we're able to start putting everything together for the next show. So I always keep everybody in the loop. Hey, we're going to meet or whatever. And then we had been there for maybe half hour or so, and here he comes.
Mm-hmm.
He pulls on my road. So that kind of shows that he's serious. You know what I mean? When you go up to the promoter and the booker and say, look, man, what do I need to do? And we're like, well, bro, you're already here. You know, that shows a lot. We start talking about the future. And that's kind of how we came up with, well, you know, let's have that tournament for the singles championship, you know, the world title now or whatever. That's kind of how that came about because we were leaning towards, you know, the tag team titles or whatever. But now it's like, well, this guy's hungry, man. And, you know, Vito's got so much going on with other feds and stuff. Let's do it. So it kind of, that kind of helped and worked out and shows that he's serious, right?
Yeah. I mean, his whole attitude is the attitude that you would like to have from all the wrestlers that you deal with.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, hey, I'm in, you know, let's get this going. Let's build this.
Right.
Let's do what we got to do, you know, and he's all in. And so, you know, and he's hungry.
Oh, yeah.
He wants, this. I think the difference between him and others is this is his life.
Right.
This is what he wants. This is what he wants to do. You know, we always talk and I always say, you know, when you talk to wrestlers, is this a hobby? Do you do this as a hobby? Or is this what you want to do as your job?
Right.
Because if this is a hobby,
we,
it's not for you.
Yeah, and we told him. I said, hey, well, you know, we've heard from Mikey, and Mikey's like, hey, you know, I want to be a part of that next show. For she's like, oh, that bring him on. And I said, well, you know, Boom Shasta, yeah, whatever the tournament is, whatever we seeded or whatever, I'm ready. And I was like,
yeah.
Right. So now the competitive juices are flowing, so we're going to put something together, and Mike and I will talk a little bit about this yesterday, where people are going to see these matchups and go, dude, I want to see what happens with this matchup and
mm-hmm.
that matchup. And honestly, in all honesty, you know, there's a strong possibility that with what we got planned, AJ might not even make it to the finals, or Mikey O'Shea might not even make it to the finals. You're jumping right into the deep end, right?
Yeah, man. We're gonna have some hogs in this tournament, and anybody.
Are we gonna have any boss hogs?
No, there's only one.
but anybody
that's gonna be in this tournament is capable of winning it all. So
yeah.
Excuse my voice. So, you know, it's just, we'll wait and see.
Yeah.
All the talking's going to stop. Ain't going to be no more talking.
Well, once we put it out on social media and all that, that we're going to have this tournament, that's when I start getting the calls and the messages and the emails. I'll tell you, the first one who's gonna send me a message is Gino Told You So. Because
I know that
he's going to be like, dude, I want to be a part of that. And he was coming from Arizona, but now he's in Albuquerque. And he's like, yeah, I'll make that drive. I'm like, dude, that's a long drive. He's like, yeah, it's all part of it, bro. If it's going to be this tournament or whatever, or it's for a belt, which, again, Mike, shows the legitimacy of the Pacific Wrestling Alliance. When somebody like that says, hey, bro, I'll drive from Albuquerque to come and be a part of this, that shows a lot. So I know I'm going to get a call from him or a message or whatever. But that's why we do it, right?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. You know, we're trying to branch out and touch different wrestlers from different states. You know, that see us and you know, want to be a part of us. And you know, our door is open.
Right.
We don't tell any wrestler that you are only supposed to wrestle for us. We don't have WWE, New Japan, AEW money.
Right.
You're not under contract. You know. But I just, I got to get on my soapbox. I can't stand you promoters that think that you are supposed to have that kind of loyalty from these wrestlers. That you're trying to tell them that they can't go and wrestle somewhere else. You have to be out your goddamn mind to try to tell somebody that. You don't have that kind of pull. You're not making that kind of money.
Right.
So don't think that these wrestlers are supposed to just bow down and be loyal to you. No.
Yeah.
They have to go out there and get themselves seen. It's not always going to be by you. So don't try to pigeonhole them into wrestling for you and you alone.
Yeah.
You can't pay them that kind of money. You're not there. So I don't understand. I can go on and on with this. Because that right there pisses me off.
Yeah.
So,
and what does that say about your company if you're like uncomfortable with them going somewhere else? I mean, we have no problem. Hey, man, you're going to go work over here? No problem. The only thing that does make me mad is what I get a lot is they're like, well, I should be able to make it, but let me be sure. And then they don't get back to me for a couple of weeks. And then they say, oh, you know what? I can't make it or whatever. And then I see them on a card somewhere else. And it's like, well, they must have got a better offer or whatever. I mean, I get that, you know, somebody's going to offer you more money, but you have to say, look, okay, yes, I want to be a part of it, or no, I'm not, because something else might come up. I'd rather them
okay.
do that.
Hold on a minute. This is a PSA. This is a PSA to all pro wrestlers concerning the Pacific Wrestling Alliance. If you are told that we want you to be a part of our show, and you say yes, keep your word. We don't sign contracts. Your word is your bond.
Yeah.
Don't have us wait 2 weeks and you try to find out if you have a bigger payday. Because if you do that, then we will never use you.
Right.
Again. So just
and then
be upfront with us.
Yeah,
it's
and then
not,
what does
it's
that
not that
because what happens is pretty soon you're gonna get a reputation and nobody's gonna want to use you. You know what I mean? They're going to be like, oh no, you know, or whatever. So you got to be careful stuff. Go ahead.
Let me use your ad, your wording.
Okay.
We're comfortable in our skin.
Yeah.
that if you choose to go somewhere else, it's not going to break our heart.
Yeah.
We're not going to run in the back and cry. I promise you that. But if you play games and we know you're playing games, then that just shines a light on who you are as a person, and we don't want to be associated with it. Be upfront with us. We're upfront with you. Be upfront with us. And that should be the working relationship that you want. You don't want us, you know, smiling your face and then say, oh, we'll get back to you. And you're waiting to hear from us. If we're going to use you, we're going to use you. If we're not, we're not.
Yeah.
We'll tell you. So do the same for us.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm done now. Okay.
Well, now, you know, once the reason we haven't like said, okay, it's I think Mike's pretty much got that date set in stone. We just haven't cleared everything with Eddie and stuff like that. But once it's set in stone, then you'll see what I'm talking about. Everybody's going to be calling or whatever. We'll hold about, I'll take that spot or whatever. So we're going to work on putting that together and get everything set. So as soon as we do, we'll make sure to put it out on social media and have everything ready to go. And, you know, June gives us enough time to kind of set up what we want. Cause it's going to be outside the way we're talking about setting it up with some VIP tents and stuff like that. So we'll keep everybody posted on the social media. And as soon as we get everything locked and loaded, then we'll make sure and let everybody know. Right, Mike?
Yeah. As Fabio likes to say, it's going to be a happening.
Oh yeah, definitely. Well, I'm going to, dude, I just barely got home, so I got to get something to eat. I'm going to take my shower. Now I got to stay up. I might have to have some coffee because I want to see the Terry Gordy Dark Side of the Ring, and it doesn't come on until 10 o'clock. So I'm going to be dying. Yeah. But if it was anybody else, I could care less. But I have a feeling that Terry Gordy Dark Side of the Ring is going to be one heck of a show. Would you agree?
Yes, sir. And we're going to have to start talking about these WWE biographies that are coming out on Sunday nights,
yeah,
because they're,
man,
pretty good too.
That's a lot
they're,
to talk about.
Oh man, I mean, it's what we do.
Well, see, but that's what I'm talking about. When you see behind the scenes and you get to see, you know, not the finished product or whatever, that's what people like. You know, you get somebody like Sean Sherkin who talks about, like, hey, man, I have my roofing company. You know, so if my son decides he wants to go pro or whatever, he's still got something to fall back on. You know, stuff like that makes a big difference. That's why I always use my wife as a good example, because she hates all that MMA, boxing, judo, and all that crap. But we were watching the Tap Out show, and they were showing Chuck Liddell's house. And she said, mm-hmm. Oh, is that where he lives? Oh, I didn't know he was he had a wife. Oh, I didn't know he had a daughter. You know, so that keeps the people who aren't even into it interested, you know, because they got to see his house. And so it makes a big difference, and it widens the audience and stuff like that. So that's what we're trying to do here at the Pacific Wrestling Alliance. Scoop Slam Radio, two scoops of Raisin Bran cereal radio. So make sure you check it out. But big thanks for Sean Shirk coming on, talking a little bit about the wrestling. Now, the NCAA finals are this weekend. I'm going to try to watch as much as possible, because there's a kid named Braden Davis that's what's the word? Not legit freshman, a true freshman. Or whatever, was in high school mm-hmm. last year, and he just ran roughshod through people, and he's a number one seed for the NCAA tournament. So I got it. It's 125 pound from Penn State.
Oh really?
Yeah. So I want to see if this kid can go all the way. He was amazing. I'm like, this to be a true freshman and run through the field like he did was amazing. And it's a trip, man, because if I was a coach, I mean, I told you, but Kale just walks out there, you know, pats him out of bed. So what I'm talking about, you know, so it's just weird, man, how he gets these kids to do, you know, what he wants them to do or whatever. But anyways, definitely going to check that out. We'll see everybody here next week. I'll see if we can get Guyam on and find out what the deal was with the Rudo Ram and stuff like that. And then we'll keep everybody posted on the upcoming show. Right, my man?
Yes, we will.
And I'll try to a little bit earlier so I can get the box set up so we don't just have to hear the ones that I have here. Like, okay, here's like this one. This I'll say I was late, so I didn't. I come on, I didn't get to set up the thing, and then Mike went like this. He just laughed at me. So, all right, man, get us out of here, Mike, and we'll see everybody next week.
Hey, once again, you guys, we appreciate you guys listening. It was an amazing show talking to Sean Shirk. You know, big ups to him for coming on and spending some time with us. Hey, you guys, we're only going to get bigger. We're only going to get better. Not only do we do pro wrestling, but we do combat sports. We do everything, MMA,
yeah,
jiu-jitsu, boxing, everything. So come along for the ride because we got a long way to go. We got a long journey. We want everybody to be with us. So on behalf of Fabi Chulo, this is Big Mike. We will see you guys next Tuesday night on Scoop Slam Radio. Good night, everybody.
All right. See you then.